Hi everyone, this is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. It's the show that we talk about the Akashic Records and whatever subject seems to be at hand at the moment, but always the wisdom of the Akashic Records comes forward. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, word, and deed are written in the Akashic Records, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. And what we're going to talk about tonight is, first of all, I have, for those people who listen to my show all the time, I wasn't on the air live last week. And I didn't think I was going to do this. That's because my husband passed away. Anyway, and I'm back on the air this week. Actually, it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow that he passed. I'm back on the air tonight to honor him and to talk about what happens after you die based on what the Akashic Records have told me, to comfort anyone who has also lost a loved one at any time during your life, and to not talk about sadness, but to talk about joy, to talk about life, and to talk about what we do in our lifetimes, what we do when we're on the planet, and how we are loved and comforted, not only while we're on the planet, but when we're off the planet as well. To let you know what I have learned from being in the records and what the record keepers are going to bring forth tonight. What I want to tell you is, again, for those people who have not listened to this program before, is that the Akashic Records, I access the Akashic Records. Another way of looking at it is the Book of Life. So it's not so much about futures, and it's really not so much about past lives. I mean, at least the way everything's in the Akashic Records. The way I work with the records is really more about the here and now. So if you want to know if you should marry your boyfriend, you have to consult your heart. The Akashic Records will never tell you what to do, but they'll give you all the information you need in order to make the appropriate decisions. So that being said, my husband passed away quite suddenly. It was Monday morning, and I came downstairs expecting him to be reading his paper at the kitchen table, and unfortunately he had already passed away. So it was quite unnerving, and I mean, you know, I sound real calm now, but don't let that fool you. Anyway, I tell you this for a reason. I tell you that there are many things that we learn when a loved one passes. Number one, we have to deal with our own grief, naturally, that they're not here anymore. And we deal with the idea that the surrealness of them not being here, the surrealness of activities that you've shared. I don't have to tell you folks that, because I know that you understand that. However, what's important for everyone to understand, and I maintain this more strongly now than I ever have before, is that no one leaves who is not complete. And no one leaves before their time, even if you think it's an accident. They are complete. Their soul is ready to go home. And his soul was ready to go home. And he was called home. And I should also share with you that my second husband who passed away. We were married for 26 years. And my first husband, I was married to for 10 years. My first husband had a massive heart attack. Because of the way my present husband, or my one that just passed, I don't know how he died, because he didn't have an autopsy. And the emergency people came, and anyway, now you don't really need to know all those details except to understand that when people ask me about How do you feel? And are you okay? A, I'm okay. B, I'm entering into a new chapter of my life. And C, how do I feel? I want you to all know that when you lose someone, you are in a state of, I have mentioned it, that my head felt like a blender. It still does to an extent. My mind is on target, and then on other times I just kind of drift off. So I'm kind of blending here. I have started doing consultations again, and feel closer to my husband now than ever before. One of the things that I understand is the completeness and the beautiful process that takes place when a loved one passes. Whether it's in a hospital or a car accident or a long illness or at home, what's important is the moments before a person dies. Moments before a human being is ready to go on the journey into the tunnel of light. It's split seconds, actually. There is a knowing that they are about to leave. And it's a knowing that few people turn back from. Yes, there are people who have had near-death experiences. For one reason or another, even though we call them near-death experiences, the reality is those experiences were meant for those people to understand what the other side looked like, to help them change their life in the here and now. And it also was to help them understand that everybody has an out card. There are a variety of times in your life that, and I'm speaking directly from the records now, there are times in your life that you have opportunities to leave the planet where you can be complete. There are different completion states. What the record keepers are explaining is it's like a subtotal. It's like you could be, this is very interesting, they're showing me a checkout. And a checkout line, like in the cashier, like at a grocery store, where you have various items added up, and you ask the cashier to subtotal. Now, you could decide at that subtotal that you don't want to purchase anymore. You do not want to take on, quote-unquote, take on anymore, and be done. That would be your out card. And you would leave the planet, and you would be complete. Or you can say, okay, I have time, I have money, I have whatever, I have a desire for more, I'm ready to complete more, and then you complete more. So it's important, that's very interesting, that gives me great joy the way they explain it to me. And I want to tell you, when I work with the records, it's a joyful thing. It's a comforting thing. It's a way of feeling so deeply close to God and the divine that I am eternally grateful to be not only be able to know how to access and open up my own personal Akashic records and the records of other people when I do consultations, but also to understand that my life's work is to teach others to bring this joy into your life. Working with the Akashic records is so joyful for me. That I can't imagine my life without it. And so I love to be able to teach people how to access their own records. In fact, there were some classes that I had, and because of the death of my husband, I did have to cancel them. However, possibly I'll be doing something in December, definitely doing something in January. So if you have an interest in learning how to access your own records, please email me, and I will let you know what my schedule for 2010 will be. Anyway, if you'd like to email me a question tonight, same email, you can email me a question at info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom, that's a.k.a. S-H-I-C-W-I-S-D-O-M, just like the program, AkashicWisdom.com. And I have my computer on, so if you have a question you would like to ask, you certainly can do that. You can email the question, or you can just call in. We have wonderful, there's 800 numbers that you can call, and if you're online, you see that those 800 numbers. If not, I will be getting them for you, and you can go ahead and call in directly to me. I'd like to keep the program around questions about what happens after life after death. I'm not a medium, by the way. That's not what this is all about. But if you have any questions about the Akashic Records, or basically, you know what, if you want to call and ask about anything you want tonight, that's okay too. So what I'd like to do is give you the telephone numbers for you to call in. It's an 800 number all over the world, and you can do that by calling. It's an 888 number, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see if I can get this up here. My computer's a little slow, but okay. So the telephone numbers that you can call are toll-free 888-228-4494, and that's all over the U.S. and Canada. And I thought it was international, but it says toll-free over U.S. or Canada. And then it's there's also four other lines, one of them being 530-776-5144 or 430-776-5154. And you don't have to worry about waiting because there are call-in lines, and you can certainly they're going to roll over. So that's not to worry about that. Anyway, so talk about a little bit more about what happens after you pass. What the record keepers have told me is that at the time someone is ready to pass, what happens is that, again, like I said, moments before, they go ahead and they know just very briefly that they are about to leave. And the love that is surrounded by people is amazing. It's a matter of being surrounded in a light of love that is so completely unconditional and so completely loving. It's like it's the feeling of being held in the arms of a thousand angels. It's about being embraced in such magnificent light and love that we immediately remember it as home and want to move more into it. And then there's a time after we pass we leave our physical bodies, where there is a time of, it's called, what I'm hearing, it's a time of remembrance. It's about getting acclimated to being not in the physical. And yet it's a time of remembrance of the light and the love that helps us move into our life review. And the life review is not necessarily one where there is extreme judgment. The judgment comes from our own inner being, where we see what we were meant to be, or where our gender was, and the choices we made to be who we were. So, in other words, we have an opportunity to return to being who we wanted to be at any moment. And so, when we have the life review, what we see is what our potential is, our potential was, and where our free will choices took us, and then the difference between what our potential was and how close we came to fulfilling that potential. And in most cases, there's a gap. And the gap between what we could have been and what we chose to be, the gap is what creates this. I'm hearing the word sadness, but it's really more about a feeling of disappointment, a feeling of, wow, I had that. I could have had that. Wow, I didn't realize how magnificent I was. I didn't realize I had that much potential. I didn't realize I could do all of what I had wanted to do. And so one of the things that I'm learning from this particular experience is that at every moment, at every time, at any time, we have a choice to turn ourselves around and choose who we want to be. And that is what you need to understand right now. You have an opportunity right now to make a choice and decide who do you really want to be? And it cannot be dependent on anybody else. See, that's the other thing that I realized about my husband. My husband was a great guy. He was a very non-judgmental man. He was a very loving guy. And he was very upfront. It was like, what you see is what you got. He didn't have any hidden agendas, which is really unusual for people, but he really didn't have any hidden agendas. And whatever how we sometimes say, well, I can't do this because of such and such. And there were times where I would say that. I can't do this because of my husband or for whatever reason. And, you know, that's just such baloney. You know, it had nothing to do with him. It had to do with what I thought or what excuse I wanted to give myself. And so what I'm telling you is that no matter what your circumstance, you can change you. Because nobody can stop you from changing. No one can stop you from growing. No one can prevent you from reading a new book or from having a different attitude. No one can prevent you from any of that. And so if you're living in a situation where you really feel that other people are preventing you from being who you are, I encourage you to examine your own personal power and reclaim it, because you can certainly do that. Absolutely can certainly do that. So we do have a question here. I have someone that emailed a question. Let me just take a look at what this question is. I thought there might be a little bit more of an explanation. So the question is this an exit point for me? And I've got to tell you, the gal who wrote this in, Rebecca, the record keepers would never tell you that. And the reality is that only you can decide to live. Anyone can decide to die. Only you can decide to live. So it's really about what is there that you want to live for. How can you, and this is for anyone who's listening, what you want to look at is you want to look at the idea of why are you here? What benefit are you bringing to others? What benefit can you bring to yourself? And how can you shift your attitude, your vision, and your light to illuminate more joy, or to illuminate a life that you want to live? You know, sometimes we want to think about an out card because we felt like we've just given up, that you don't want to fight anymore. And not wanting to fight anymore does not necessarily mean dying. Not wanting to fight anymore does not necessarily mean that you don't want to live. It just means that you don't want to struggle anymore. And you know, you can stop the struggle anytime. You can stop the struggle and choose life at any moment. So I, without having more information, the record keepers, from you, see what happens when you ask a question. The question itself creates the answer within you. One of the things that happens with the Akashic Records is that the whole consultation is based 100% on your questions. And so what you need to also understand is that when you work with yourself, you don't need to make any other excuses. If you feel that you are at the end of your rope, if you will, it's time to really assess what you want. And it's about assessing what the reality of what you want, your realistic wants, the idea of knowing what's possible. I mean, there are many of us that that have an idea that we can move into. There was, like, for example, there's the art of attraction, the law of attraction. There's a lot of people who don't understand why it doesn't work for them. And one of the reasons it doesn't work is because you have conflicting views. And so I really encourage you to take a look at that. However, what's really important here, it's very important for you to get very clear about where your conflicting views are so that you can then move forward on your path. Okay, we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Oh, hey, it's Rebecca. I just sent you in the email.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Yeah, it kind of was a vague question.
Yeah, you know, a little ominous there.
Yeah. Well, what you were talking about, which really made sense, was this sense of just feeling tired. And that must be like the struggle that you were talking about.
Yeah. So why do you think that this is an exit point for you? What prompted that question?
Because I'd actually listened to something earlier that was talking about what happens when a person dies and that kind of stuff. So I thought, oh,
really? On another program? That was interesting.
Yeah, on CBS Radio. So, but part of it is that longing and that tiredness. You know, like not a depressive kind of thing. You know what I mean? As far as like wanting to hurt myself, but just that feeling of I just don't want to do this. Why is everything just so hard right now?
Well, you might want to start asking. There was, like, it's interesting. There's a gentleman by the name of Noah St. John, and I recommend his book about. It's called Affirmations. It's the little blue book of affirmations. It's AFFORMATIONS. Affirmations. Uh-huh. And the reason why it's not affirm. It's afform.
Yeah.
So one of the things that he would say to you is, in the book, it says, instead of asking why are things so hard, which only attracts more hard things,
right?
You may want to look at a question of difference, like, why do I feel so supportive of the universe? And you don't even have to believe the question so much as allowing the universe to show you how you are supported.
Mm-hmm.
So the point of what the record keepers want to say to you is take a look at the questions you're asking that may be bringing on more energy of the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if
mm-hmm.
you're saying, why am I constantly in this struggle? Why am I constantly tired? What you're doing is you're creating a nice cycle
mm-hmm.
of more of the same. So just take a look at how you're talking to yourself, number one.
Right, right.
And the other piece is, what are you actually tired of?
I just moved, and there's a whole thing about moving that was going on with my DSL carrier. I had my car fixed, and they didn't do it right, and I need to take it back, but it's an hour from where I live. I want to find a job. I fell twice where I live, and I've only lived here like 2 weeks. It's just like, wow. You know, I don't know if it's a universal wake-up call or what's going on.
Well, what does it feel like?
You know, I guess my head would have to tell me, like, is it a wake-up call or am I, you know, is this something, if I am an expression of God, these are feelings that only He can feel through us? I don't know what it is. You know, it's that feeling of, like, nothing's fun. It's just not fun.
Right, but the piece is that when you have all these obstacles that are preventing your joy,
you
have a choice.
Uh-huh.
You have a choice of looking at them as aggravations, or you can look at them in a humorous way of, okay, what are you trying to show me?
Okay. That's the piece, that's the switch that I need. You know, that statement right there is what will switch me.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes when we're in it, so to speak,
you
can't even think about that.
Well, that's it. It's like when there are times where it's almost like it happens for me that it's like I'll forget something, I'll trip, I'll drop my keys, and these are minor little itty bitty things. Okay, they're just little minor little aggravations, and I'll finally say. And I'll finally just break into laughter and say, okay, guys, what am I supposed to look at here? Okay, what's really going on? Because somehow, Spirit's trying to get your attention.
Okay.
So that hour drive may be an important thing for you to see. You know, there may be something you need to see.
Mm-hmm.
There may be something you need to contemplate.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may even just need to find a closer mechanic.
Yeah, it was something the day I was moving, they were working on my car. It was, you know what I mean?
No, I'm just saying take a look at, that's just what the issue is. There's always a deeper issue. You know, and maybe it's just that, for example, when I trip or if I drop my keys, I realize that even that small delay may be delaying me from being in the wrong place at the right time.
Wrong place at the right time.
So, for example, that moment that it took me to pick up those keys is a split second that prevented me from being in an accident.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So I have to say, okay, I don't know what... Sometimes I don't have to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay not to know.
Mm-hmm.
And to just trust that I'm being held back for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's okay.
I really think this is a grieving process, which you can totally identify with, and my condolences to you as well for the passing of your husband.
Thank you. Yeah, in other words, like the idea is that whenever you have a life change, there's always some grieving. So, for example, you're grieving all the changes that are happening because you're seeing it as something outside of yourself doing it.
Mm-hmm. And also just seeing the reality of how it was where I was living. You know, getting a kind of, not a slap in the face, but a wake-up call as to the way I was living brings me a lot of sadness. And it's not a judgment. It's just a sadness like, wow. You know, kind of an odd. I think it would be like leaving a relationship and just being able to assess it and go, wow, you know.
Yeah. How long do you plan on feeling sad?
I don't really think I realized it was that until I was talking to you. So
good.
Yeah, so I can write about it, and move through it, and say it's okay. I did the best I could do. So.
But that's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we forget that, though, until we hear somebody, you know, say that to us. So,
yeah, and the other thing is that, you know, regret is worthwhile for about a minute and a half.
Well, you know, you talked about when we get a life review and we look at, wow, I didn't even know I had that potential. That feeling was, what is my potential that I may not be seeing? And am I missing things? You know, there was a kind of a sadness there of like, have I missed things? Will I see that, you know, in my review and look back and go, wow, I didn't even see that.
Well, and if that's the case, what can you do now to shift it?
Yeah, well, I can be open to the universe showing me and me being able to see what they're showing me. I think that's probably the big thing is for me being able to see. Because
exactly.
The universe is doing its thing, you know, whether or not I can, whether or not I can plug into that, that's me and that's what I can control. So
Exactly.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and I just wish you the best of luck. And I just found you on Station 2. I was always looking for you on Station 1. You switched.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't realize that I moved. Yeah, I moved a couple of months ago.
Yeah, well, I'm so thrilled that you're still on the air. So anyway,
oh, thank you.
You.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Rebecca. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And so I hope that's helped everyone. You know, it's funny. Before I got on the air tonight, I was debating about whether or not I wanted to be on the air. And so I opened the records and said, okay, what's the highest here? And show me what it would feel like to be on the air and show me what it would feel like not to be. And, you know, I'm so glad I followed what the feeling, because the feeling is true joy to be with you all. So, okay, we have another question. And, you know, you guys can call in. That's a great thing to do, calling in. I love talking to you. But this question's about Alzheimer's, and it's a great question. It says, what is the truth? I should say my husband is early stage Alzheimer's. What is the truth of the prevalence of people with Alzheimer's conditions in our society now? And the comment is, I recently spoke with someone who heard somewhere and presented the idea that the person actually experiencing this has a healing effect on their family. Is this true? Okay, so I'm going to talk to the second part first. And I'm going to speak from a personal point of view about if, in fact, having Alzheimer's or a person with Alzheimer's has a healing effect on the family. I would have to say that it can be very sad, and frustrating, and there are when you have a loved one that was vibrant and spry and really with it, and you see them slipping, and you see their personality shifting, and you see them not remembering things that they, you know that they know, but they don't know anymore. For that individual person who has the Alzheimer's, many times, at least I'm going to tell you about my experience, they don't even remember that they don't know. They don't know that they don't know. And in some cases, they do know that they don't know. So it can be very frustrating for the person. And at the same time, if they don't remember that they don't remember, then they are really in their innocence. However, for the person who is experiencing it, it can be very frustrating. And what a person really wants is the person they knew back. So it can be a very sad journey. Now, from a metaphysical point of view, from a human point of view, okay, it's the healing that happens in some families. I'm sure that they all come together and they to help take care of the person who has the Alzheimer's. That wasn't necessarily my experience, and so that. It was really more of a healing maybe after he passed than while he was alive. But the idea is that Alzheimer's as a paradigm, this is not we're talking from a paradigm shift of information from the record. So we went from a human observation, which was my humanness. Now we're going to the Alzheimer's as a paradigm. Now, what the record keepers are saying is that if you look each quote unquote disease, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, whatever, is a paradigm. It's a level of consciousness. It's an energetic field. Alzheimer's is an energetic field. And so individuals move into that energetic field as a way of moving into innocence. That's what I'm hearing. It's for the individual, it's a return to innocence in some cases. It's also for other cases where the personality shifts to aggression or anger. I was blessed that my husband's personality did not change to be aggressive or abusive or violent. In fact, he was more loving than ever, and he was very considerate and very, very sweet. And so that, thank God, that was not my experience. However, I have talked with other people whose experiences, their loved one's personality totally shifts to the opposite of what they are. It's to a meanness. And what the record keepers are saying is it's about the freedom of releasing that which was holding them back or binding them is the way I'm feeling. So, for example, if someone is abusive and angry, it's almost like that aggression was always there, but they couldn't release it. They could not express it. And now, with the innocence of the Alzheimer's, they're able to express who they are, and so or express what is really there. So you have to look at a person with Alzheimer's as one that is having a return to innocence. And as a society, what the paradigm is showing us, and the healing part that was the comment, the healing part of the Alzheimer's is allowing the observer, remember we're talking about observation now, to be able to observe the return to innocence and to receive the compassion that a caregiver has to receive for themselves. A person who is a caregiver for an Alzheimer's patient needs to be able to be more compassionate with themselves and with that patient than ever before. And so the compassion in and of itself is a healing. There is a lot of healing going on. It just depends on where you place it. And what the observations and how it affects the observers. I know that there were some folks that hadn't seen my husband for a while, and when they saw him, they did not feel they didn't feel healed at all. They were saddened by the change and his forgetfulness. So that is. I hope I answered your question. And if not, please email me another one or call me and ask me on the telephone. And you folks know the number. Okay. I don't have my numbers printed out here. It's on the website. So the number to call, the 800 number is 888-228-4494. So you can call in and ask your question with me there. Now, we have another question, and this is a great question. And the question is, what Lizita wants us to define is the word grieving. It's a very, very, very interesting concept. So we're going to ask the record keepers to define the word grieving. So let me just wait for them to talk to me again. So you may want to get a pencil and paper out for this one. The reason I say that is because I don't remember what I say in many cases. Grieving is a moving inward and a personal review. For the people who are still on the planet, a person who is grieving, it's a personal review of regret and sadness for opportunities lost and it's also about the definition of grieving has to do with a moving into one's self and what they no longer have. So when a human being is grieving for another, they are not grieving for that person. And it was like the person who has passed, it's not about helping them anymore. They are in a better place. They are being held in grace. The grieving is for the human. The human is that's still here is grieving their loss of not having that person around them. I know that sounds trite, but there's deeper meanings for that. So the idea here is when a person is quote unquote grieving, they are grieving, they're experiencing the loss of what was, what is, and what cannot, and what can no longer be. The loss of what was, the loss of what is, and the loss of what cannot be. And so that whole aspect is what the humans that are left behind are experiencing. And sometimes grieving comes, different aspects of grieving. There is anger. There can be denial. And there's other aspects, there's other levels of grieving. And so my regrets are that I'm going to keep that personal. I don't regret anything around the relationship because for what I know, my husband was a happy guy and I know that he loved me and I loved him and we both loved each other in our own way, and that from an emotional point of view, all the words were said and all the emotions were felt and that was okay. The regret comes from him having to deal with the Alzheimer's and him not being 100% of who he was and knowing, I knowing and his family knowing that it wasn't going to get any better. But the blessing is that he did not have to suffer anymore and he did not have to move into truly the ravages that can be so horrible for folks with Alzheimer's. And the idea that he passed in a way that was peaceful, he never had to go to a hospital, and it was swift, it was quick. So there's something to be said for that, and there's blessings that are important around that. So yeah. But thanks for those questions. Those are great questions, but I would love to have some more. So you guys have to give a call, We have about 10 more minutes left in the show, and I would love to talk to someone. So remember, you can call at 888-228-4494. Lines are open, no waiting, as they say, no waiting. So what's coming up in my life now? What's going to happen? Well, this is kind of a still a point of turmoil. There's a lot of things to be thought about, and a lot of new things that I know that this is going to make way for. I know that January will be a busy month. I want to go to Minnesota. I want to go to San Diego. And I really would like to go anywhere you feel, you as my audience, feel would receive the greatest benefit. So if you have a group that you would like me to speak for, or if you feel that there are folks around that would like to learn how to access their own Akashic records, if you'd like to learn how to do that, I would love to have you give me an email or send me an email at info@akashicwisdom.com. And have prayer, will travel. So it's my pleasure to do all that. And because of these unfortunate circumstances, I did have to cancel my level 2 and the level 3. And that's going to be coming up probably, I want to say, it feels more like February, March for level 2 and level 3. And then we've got a professional level 2 coming up. So there's lots of good things that we're going to do. And I know that I'm actually going to be finishing that book. People have been asking me about the book for so long, and now I'm going to take the time to really write it. And so there's a lot going to be happening. So, So the other thing is that if, in fact, you out there would like to email me on topics that you would like the record keepers to talk about, please email me and let me know what you would like to discuss on the air. I'm happy to do that. Or you can call me. You can call me directly. My private number is 216-691-1233. You can call that number 24 hours a day, and I'll be there. Well, if I'm not there, the voicemail will be there. Hello, we've got a caller. We've got about 8 minutes left. How are you? Hello?
I'm doing great, Donna. Hello?
Oh, it's Lucita.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh, I can hear you. I just wanted to call and ask your viewers to send you love and blessings during this time of your loss. And you've done that for all of us, and now we would like to do that for you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. That's great. In fact, I'm looking for sponsors for the show, so if anybody has a product that they would like to advertise, I would love to be able to hear from some people who would like to sponsor the show. That would be great. So how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm packing up and going to be heading back to California here soon.
Okay, so you're leaving Montana? Oh, wait. Where are you?
Oregon.
You're leaving Oregon, and you're going to go and live in California now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. In San Diego?
I'm looking to be in San Diego, yes. Making the route in total trust of everything falling in place, but I know it will.
I'm sure you've been in touch with Ray, with Lori Rayon, right?
Keeping in touch with her.
Good.
And,
two of you should get an apartment together.
I would like that. She has her living situation. She has a roommate right now.
I didn't hear you.
Lori has a roommate right now where she lives.
Oh, okay.
But I told her I would be great if we had a beachfront house and we were roommates.
That That sounds great.
And,
Beachfront's always beautiful in San Diego. That's for sure.
I know. You could do our work from there. But that's my big dream.
There you go.
I would settle for a little apartment to start off with.
Yeah. Did you listen to the grieving aspect? Did that help you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I thought it was a great... Yes, it did. It helped me a lot with my losses and understanding that a little bit more and trying to let go of the sorrow of it all. I think everybody can relate to that. I think everyone's had an experience
Well, there's many things to grieve. It's not just a death or, you know, it can be a loss of a job, a move. It can be divorce, you know. It doesn't have to necessarily be the loss of a loved one. So there's a lot of things
exactly.
that we grieve in our lifetime.
That's
so
true.
Look at that, yeah. But the idea
uh-huh.
of regret doesn't serve us.
Regret doesn't do what?
Regret does not serve us. To regret something. You know, it only,
mm-hmm.
like the record keepers say, regret is only good for about a minute and a half, and you have to move on.
Right.
In other words, to hold on to regret keeps you in the past. It keeps you in a victim stance.
Right.
Because it creates a cycle and a pattern.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to look at that with moving and having
say again?
Moved several times in my life. I'll have to look at that aspect with moving, just the moving that I've done in my life and this one that's in front of me to make again with regret. I'll just have to explore
well,
that
idea,
a little.
Yeah, the idea here is that regret is not doesn't help you.
Right.
And so the idea here is whatever did happen or did not happen where you were living before, it's really about really assessing what worked and what didn't so that you can learn
uh-huh.
from that and put different things into action with your new space.
Okay.
So the idea is if we, it's, there's this that thing. If we always do what we've always done, we're always going to get what we always got.
Uh-huh.
So the idea is if something didn't work, in the you know, if and that becomes a pattern, we need to look at that.
Okay?
Really need to look
yeah.
at that.
Right. Especially with wanting, for me, I want to make this move new and better than ever, and it's a little scary, but I think
sure.
if I look, yeah, so I will look at that.
Okay,
so
that would be good.
So I can avoid the patterns.
Yes.
Or.
Okay.
So you're going to let us know when you have
class? It's really hard to hear you because I keep getting an echo and then I talk and then you talk. It's like a delay.
I'm outside, away
yeah.
from the computer.
No, that's good. I'm just saying. anyway.
There's no storms.
I'm sorry?
There's no storms.
Oh, that's good.
Let us know when you're going to have your classes in December or January.
Yeah, I know that Lori wants me to do it in San Diego, so we're going to have to set something up. So she's going to sponsor me in San Diego to do a level one and hopefully a level two. So that's what we'll be looking at.
Hey, I'll see you there.
Okay. All right. Well, Lucita, I have to go. The show is going to be, I have to close the show out.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you so much for calling and thank you for your great questions.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. Okay, everyone. Well, I tell you what, it is time for us to say goodnight. And I want to thank you all for being there for me. I really feel the energy and the love that you're all sending. And we'll move on from here together. And so at this point, we want to close the records by saying we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show tonight on November 8th, 2009, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Have a miracle-filled week. I'll see you next week right here, same time, same station. And in the meantime, tell everyone you love them, including yourself. Have a great week, folks. Love you. Bye-bye.